What is up, you guys, and welcome to the Beneath the Armor podcast, where we discuss what goes on beneath the metaphorical armor we put on every single day to mask as typical functional humans when really we are all just big weirdos deep down inside. We talk about mental health, how we really feel, we get into the nitty-gritty feelings of what it means to be a human being. So thank you so much for being here on today's episode. I'm excited to have you. Hello, everyone. I hope you're having the most amazing day so far, wherever you are, whatever time of day it is. I'm so genuinely excited to be back on here with you all. This podcast gives me the most joy, and what helps me personally just record these episodes, whether there's a guest on or it's just me rambling in my living room, is I kind of imagine who you might be and us together here having this conversation. So I just want to let you know that I appreciate you. Thank you for being here. This means so much to me. And again, if you have any topics, by the way, before we jump into today's topic that you would like to hear or like to know more about, please feel free to either screenshot the podcast as you're listening to it, share it on social media, and tag me at ABH_movement, or drop me a DM, same thing, at ABH_movement, or go to abhmovement.com, drop me an email, let me know. Anyway, you can reach me. I would love to know what you would love to hear here. So let's talk about our topic of the day, which is your inner critic. We are going to be navigating what your inner critic is, 5 strategies to quiet your inner critic or befriend your inner critic, more importantly. And I'm also going to share a little bit about my story with my inner critic, because it's not something that ever goes away. That voice is always going to be there in your head. So right off the bat, if you think this is going to be an episode that's like how to quiet your inner critic for good, I cannot make that promise. That is not realistic, but I can give you strategies to help befriend that voice so that the next time it comes up, which it will forever and always, you can have a conversation with it and navigate that voice in a new way that might be more helpful to you rather than harmful. So let's jump right in. What is your inner critic? Some of you might already know this, but your inner critic is essentially that voice in your head, whether you listen to it consciously or subconsciously, that goes, you're not enough. And to you, it might sound different. For some of you, it might be, I'm not good enough. I'm not attractive enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not blank enough is the underlying statement. But it's also more insidious than that. It might be the voice that tells you that you're not worthy of a partner or a relationship that's good for you. It might be a voice that tells you not to apply for that dream job because you don't think you're qualified. It might be the voice that tells you you're not a good parent when you feel angry at your kids because they're annoying the crap out of you. It might be the voice that tells you that you're not smart enough when you don't do well on a test and you just whatever, you got a low grade, maybe you're in school writing midterms right now, and you just did not do as well as you'd hoped. And that voice pops up that goes, ugh, you suck. You're never going to succeed. That is our inner critic. And it can be really hurtful. It's a hurtful voice, and it can cause some serious despair. It can lead to larger challenges with mental health, mental illness, and just generally lead to depression. And my scientific word for this, just a bad fucking time, just a bad time. So what can we do about it? And what does my inner critic sound like? Because it's all fine and dandy for me to be like, all right, you're going to listen to your critic and then give this a try. But if you're like me, I personally find it really, really helpful to listen to other people's stories of things that they struggle with or what their voice sounds like. And it's relatable. It can be really validating and help you with your own lived experience. So before we talk about the 5 ways to befriend our inner critic voice, I do want to talk a little bit about mine. And I also want to be honest with all of you that this is actually not the most comfortable conversation for me. It's like a gray, rainy day outside. I'm like sitting with my cup of tea, mentally preparing myself for this podcast. And I literally have been sitting at my mic for the last 45 minutes, doom scrolling on social media, because this is uncomfortable, if I'm being completely honest. My critic is rampant. I struggle with it daily. And I use the tips that we are going to talk about every single day. So I just want to let you know that whoever you are listening to this, I literally had to have a whole sit-down conversation with my critic just to put this podcast episode out because my critic was going, "You don't know what you're talking about. This isn't going to be helpful. Who needs this? Who do you think you are? No one's going to listen to this. This isn't helpful information. How are you even going to fill this episode? Oh, you're going to talk about your experiences?" That's what my critic sounds like. My critic, every single time I want to speak up and talk about my own story, goes, "No one cares what your thoughts are. No one wants to hear what you have to say." And I hope that's not true, but even if it is, it doesn't matter because I really love putting these episodes out regardless and sharing what I do know, because I do believe that it is helpful. And that's something I've said to counter my critic. So currently, my critic is most dominant in three places. Those places are work, fitness, and relationships. In particular, to unpack relationships a little bit further, sex, actually, right now at this point in my life. I'm like blushing as I say that. I'm like, oh God, we're into the conversation. It's happening. So I'm actually going to start with that third one because it's realistically the most uncomfortable for me right now. Maybe I'm getting it off the table. I don't know. But I have had some negative experiences with sex and physical intimacy. And I'm currently at a point in my life where I went through a breakup a year ago, almost to the day. And I'm getting back into dating and navigating how to be intimate again in a way that works for me and doesn't make me feel overwhelmed or make me have a panic attack, frankly. And so right now I'm kind of figuring out what that might look like for me. And I've also come to realize over the last few months that I am not someone who experiences desire in a spontaneous way. And I've been talking a lot about the book Come As You Are lately on my social media platforms by Dr. Emily Nagoski. And if you haven't read it, I highly, highly, highly recommend it. Again, that's Come As You Are, which is the best title for a book about sex ever. But one thing Emily talks about that's super helpful for me anyway, is the difference between spontaneous desire and desire that's more responsive. So you see an attractive person on the street, and in that moment, you feel like turned on. You're like, oh, I want that person. I want sex right now. And that spontaneous feeling that kind of arises is what I think a lot of us think of when we think of sex. I am more of the latter category, which we don't talk about often enough in society, and that is responsive. So if you are slow to turn on, it kind of takes you a while to get into it, or you don't want sex that often, it kind of takes you a while to get there, but once you're into it, then you're like, okay, actually, this is a good time. You might also have a responsive sex drive. And so I am a responsive person. I have had some trauma when it comes to intimacy in the past, and I have not had sex for the last year. And so coming back to inner critic work, now I'm learning how to date again. You can believe, and maybe you're like cringing listening to this because you know where this is going. I am certainly cringing. My brain goes, do you even still know how to do this? What if you're not a good partner? What if you don't want to date anyone? What if you hurt someone's feelings? You're going to be a bad partner. You're going to be bad in bed. Do you even want to have sex? What's wrong with you? You're broken. You're broken for not wanting sex. Why don't you want sex? And I think that's a really important topic to start with here. No matter how uncomfortable it is for me, this feels like vulnerability and I hate it, but we're here. Alex, you're alone in your living room. You're doing great. I'm going to give myself a pep talk while I'm on here. It's really hard to talk about a topic that's so taboo to discuss openly. My critic gets rampant. It tells me that this is an inappropriate conversation to have in this moment. And so how do I address that? How do I talk to you invisible folks on my microphone and navigate this conversation and navigate the situation in my life? Well, I'm going to pause there and actually now talk about the tips and strategies. Because although I didn't talk about my critic when it comes to work or fitness, the critic comes up the same way. It's that same feeling of like, you're not going to be good enough. You're going to be a failure. No one, like either no one cares or like you're going to be at fault somehow. Bottom line, you're not good enough. So how do I address that voice when it comes up? Because there are ways we can, again, have this conversation with our critic. But what most of us do is we double down on that voice. We double down on the negativity. So our critic goes, who do you think you are? You're not good enough. And instead of going, actually, you know what? I am. Spoiler alert, one of the tips, we go, oh my God, you're right. What if I'm not good enough? And then the critic goes, yeah, see, you know, you're not good enough. And we go, oh, you're right. I probably shouldn't even try. I better give up before I start because who do I think I am? And then we spiral down into this pit of self-loathing, which isn't helpful for anyone, mostly ourselves. And so what do we do instead? Instead of doubling down, what can we do? Well, the first thing, the first tip that I find helpful is to create a separate character or persona for my critic. So I'm still coming up with an ongoing name. I kind of name my critic something different depending on the mood, but Karen mostly comes up. And I think we all know why. Just Karen who wants to speak to the manager and wants to complain, that stereotype, we're going to work with it. But Karen is the appropriate name for my critic. So Karen goes, who do you think you are? And now instead of feeling like I'm having a conversation with myself that's unhelpful and beating myself up, I can go, oh, hey, Karen, you again. Thanks for calling. I disagree with what you're saying. And creating this persona for your critic can help create space from our own thoughts. When we go down that negative spiral that I talked about just a moment before, we get wrapped up in that, not because we want to, but because that spiral happens so subconsciously and so quickly, we don't actually notice it happening. And so when we hear and become aware of that voice and then go, ah, oh, Karen, is that you? It creates space from our own thoughts and allows us to consciously be aware of the fact that we are having those thoughts and then acknowledge them and reflect on them and go, oh, I'm just thinking. This isn't real. It's just Karen. And that can be a really, really powerful tip for you. So maybe your critic's name is a real person. Maybe it's a fictional character. But if that's something that works for you, I highly recommend giving it a try to create a little bit of space. That's tip number one. Tip number two is to acknowledge that person, that character's perspective, and where it's come from. And this is really, really critical because we think that that character is us and we believe them. We believe our persona of the inner critic instead of just listening to what they have to say. And we have tons of thoughts, doesn't make them all true. And so when our critic speaks up, when Karen pops up to say hi, I acknowledge Karen, but I also reflect on where Karen might be coming from. And if that doesn't make sense to you, that's okay. I'm going to unpack that. But our inner critic usually stems from our conditioning in some capacity. And if you're not familiar with what conditioning is, they're the stories or narratives or ideas that we were raised with and that we've absorbed from society. So whether it's stuff that you read in the media or things that your parents told you when you were growing up that you needed to be, some kind of systemic set of values that you grew up thinking were important, that is all your conditioning. And so Karen, in my case, my critic, is the result of a conditioning pattern that is here to actually keep me safe. Now, how does that work? How is that negative voice keeping me safe? Well, my parents and my family raised me to, like, not intentionally work like a 9-to-5, but definitely choose the safe route. Don't do anything that was going to go like too against the grain in a public way. Like, be nice, say please and thank you. Don't be rude. Don't be mean. Don't make other people uncomfortable. Be nice. Be the good person. Be compassionate. Put other people before yourself and make sure other people are taken care of. Well, when I want to talk about something that might be a little taboo, or I might say something that's a little controversial, Karen pops up because Karen goes, oh, no, no, you can't talk about that. You can't talk about that topic. That topic is off limits. Good people, kind people, normal people don't talk about that. And that voice, that narrative is coming from a place of, if you talk about the forbidden thing, something bad is going to happen. That's really why Karen is here. Ultimately, Karen is actually here to protect me, but not in a rational way. Karen is just so used to that conditioning pattern that what she wants to do is go, I'm afraid that if you do the thing you want to do right now, if you say the thing you want to say, if you act that way, I'm afraid something bad is going to happen. So instead, I'm gonna tell you you're not good enough, but that's really just to keep you in the safe space of not doing the scary thing. I hope that makes sense. If it doesn't, again, let me know what doesn't make sense. And I'm super happy to talk about that more in another episode. But bottom line is your critic is actually here to try and protect you. So when we go, oh, I wish I didn't think this way. Well, we think that way for a reason. We think that way to protect ourselves from vulnerability and from fear and from scary things and from change. And so the critic is not something to beat down. We don't want to squash the critic or undermine it or like blame the critic, but we do want to have a healthier relationship with our critic so that we can do some scary things. There are some scary things that like probably aren't a great idea for us, but there are also many, many, many forms of change and activities that are going to make us a better person, that are here for our emotional, physical, spiritual growth and betterment as an individual. So how do we work with our critic to make that happen? Well, again, that tip was acknowledge their perspective and where it comes from. So I've created Karen in my mind, and I'm acknowledging that Karen is here to help. So even though she sounds really mean, even though she's telling me I'm not good enough, she has been created by the society that I grew up in, my version of reality, to stop me from getting hurt. Now, tip number three is where we start to really create some growth here. And that is, what would you say to a friend if they spoke about themselves this way? So imagine a friend comes to you and they go, man, I suck. I am just a bad person. Why would I ever go for that job? I don't deserve that job. Who am I to apply for that job? Would you go, yeah, you're right. You suck. You definitely shouldn't apply for that job. No. Oh my God. That would be hurtful. Like, I'm sure all of you right now are like, no, I would never do that. Not to my friend. Absolutely not. We do that to ourselves all the time. So when that voice goes, don't do it. You're a bad person. You're not enough, et cetera, et cetera. Can we pretend that a friend of ours, our best friend in the world, or someone we love is coming to us with that same powerful message? Can we pretend that our best friend is coming to us with that information, and we are going to give them love? We are going to show up for them as their hype person. We are going to give them so much love and so much praise, because that's what we do to the people we love. We go, are you kidding me? Go for that job. Of course you're going to get the job. You're the best at what you do. And if they don't actually deserve the job, that's a different question. But like, we're being genuine friends here. Let's be realistic and say your friend's going to get, like, they are good at their job. We're going to hype them up. So imagine your best friend comes to you. How would you love them? How would you show them care? And then instead flip that on its head and respond to yourself that way. Show yourself that love that you would show to someone else. Tip number four is to separate facts from feelings. So what is real that you are thinking, and what is a story you've made up in your head? What are the myths, and what is reality? Our thought thinks about some real things. If you have a deadline coming up and your brain is stressed out and your critic is going crazy and saying like, oh my God, you're not prepared. You're not going to meet that deadline. You're going to fail. Well, let's use that as an example. What are the facts? What are the feelings? Well, fact is you have a deadline coming up, but the feeling is that you're going to fail. It's not a fact that you're going to fail. It's a feeling. It's a feeling that you're not prepared enough. Maybe that's a combination of the two. So what can you separate here, and what can you do about it? Because if you're already telling yourself the message that you're going to fail as if it's a fact, well, then you're going to make it a fact. But if you go, okay, I've got a deadline next Friday. If I don't start preparing, then this might not go as well as I'd liked, but I know for next time. So what can I put in place right now in order to be the most prepared possible, in order to do the best I want to do, in order to do the best I feel I can? And you might do this in terms of relationship situations. Again, take a moment to take a deep breath, pull back and reflect on your thoughts and go, okay, what here is a fact and what here is a feeling? So I'm going to use my own life here, my own inner critic work as an example of this. And that is, again, in relationship to sex and relationships, the facts are, I have not been in a relationship for a year. I have not had sex in a year. I have not been dating. And that is scary. Those are my facts. And scary is also a feeling, but it is very, very real for me. That is a real truth, that it is terrifying getting back into dating and intimacy. The feelings I'm having are, ooh, am I going to be a good partner? Ooh, am I going to be able to meet someone else's needs? Are they going to be able to meet my needs? That fear of, am I ever going to meet someone who's compatible with me? Those are all feelings that I'm making up in my head. And it's ultimately up to me to navigate and address. Because if I were to pretend that all of those things are facts, well, how am I ever going to give someone else a fair shot or feel not comfortable, but remotely safe jumping back into the dating pool? If I've already created the narrative in my head that I'm either not going to be good enough or the other person isn't, then I'm never really going to try. So I start with the facts, I set aside the feelings, and then I make a plan. I go, okay, are some of these realistic? Could some of these happen? Yeah. But what if they do? What happens if I meet someone and then, you know what? It just doesn't go as I hope it would. That's okay. It might be scary. My feelings might get hurt. Their feelings might get hurt, but that doesn't make us bad people. That doesn't make me a bad person. And that means I've learned something for the next time. And now you can see how the cogs start turning in your brain and you're like, you know what? Okay. Like that's less scary. That's less threatening. Maybe I will be okay. Maybe I can do this. And then you start to build that confidence. You start to feel more empowered. You start to feel more authentically yourself too, instead of pushing all those feelings down deep inside and listening to this voice in your head that's beating you up with a hammer. Not productive, not a good time. The last tip. So again, our four, just to regroup so far, are we create that separate character or persona for our inner critic. We acknowledge their perspective and where they're coming from and where that conditioning might've come from. We ask ourselves, what would we do if this were a friend coming to me and they were saying this? How would I respond to them? How can I give myself that love? Tip four, we separate the facts from the feelings. And then the last tip for today, tip number five, is we practice self-acceptance and self-compassion. And this is certainly much easier said than done. I totally appreciate that. It's all well and good to be like, just love yourself for who you are. Just accept yourself for where you're at. But the reality is it's not that simple. And you know that, I know that. So how do we actually go about doing that? Well, self-acceptance is different from self-love in the sense that it's not about an action, but rather not even an inaction either. It's existing and being at peace with kind of just where you're at. And that's normalizing the feeling you're having. So sometimes we have those thought spirals. We're, again, going to have that inner critic pop up. Sometimes we're going to be able to reel ourselves back in and use tips 1 through 4 to create a safer space and a more positive environment for us to move forward. But sometimes we're going to dive into the pain cave. Sometimes we're going to go down that negative thought spiral. And it might be like, yeah, you know what? This isn't that productive. Quick, like show of hands, you might raise a hand to yourself or just smile or say me too out loud. But how many of you have experienced this? You've gone through your day. The critic came up however many times during the day. Let's not even touch on that. But it comes to bedtime. It's like 10:30 at night. You're like, oh, I'm so cozy. I'm so tired. This is going to be great. I'm going to get a good night's sleep. You lie down in bed. And your brain goes, why did you say that to Bob at 4 p.m.? Bob hates you. Why on earth did you say that to Bob? And you're like, oh my God, why did I say that to Bob? Before you know that, you're in a downward trajectory of negative thoughts, criticizing yourself for what you said to some coworker of yours at like in the office at 4 p.m. Bob probably doesn't care. Bob's in bed having Bob's own negative thought spiral about what they did. And before you know it, you've not only gone down that spiral, but you're like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to distract myself by scrolling on TikTok. And then you scroll through TikToks the next hour and a half while socially comparing yourself to a bunch of other people. And you're like, oh my God, I'm never getting to bed. And then you're counting down the hours being like, oh, I'm only going to get 5 hours of sleep. I'm not going to be awake enough tomorrow. I'm going to be exhausted and then I'm not going to perform at work. And then I'm going to feel like a sloth and I'm not going to be like a functional adult. And why do I do this to myself? And I'm a bad person. And you see where this is going. How many of you relate to that? Well, if that is you, self-acceptance, this tip number 5, is the final piece. And that is, those nights are going to happen. We're only human. There are going to be moments where we are not able to pull ourselves out of that thought spiral. And in that moment, can you go, yep, I'm spiraling, and that's okay. Sometimes humans spiral, and it's okay that I'm spiraling, and it's okay that I don't like myself that much in this moment, and it's okay that I'm having these feelings. It's okay that I'm anxious. It's okay that I'm sad. It's okay that I'm afraid. I'm just going to be afraid right now, and if I don't sleep that well tonight, that's okay. And then you decide down the road when that becomes a thing that you want to change, or maybe another day that pattern breaks because you work on tips 1 through 4 and experience something different. Maybe if you're not getting sleep every single night, like, I always highly encourage reaching out to someone if you feel comfortable doing that, whether that's a therapist or a trusted friend. But every now and then, having those spiraling moments, that's totally, totally normal. And I just want you to know that whoever you are listening to this, it is totally normal to have those thoughts and feelings. You are not alone in that. You are not wrong for that. You are not broken. There is nothing wrong with you whatsoever. You are awesome. I want you to know that. So those are our 5 tips for navigating our inner critic work, creating that character or persona, acknowledging their perspective or conditioning or where that voice came from, talking to that voice as if it's a friend coming to you with those words, separating your facts from feelings, and practicing self-acceptance or self-compassion. This is so hard, guys. Like, I just want to be really honest about that. Like, I say it again, like it's an easy thing to practice, but this is something I am working on every single day. And with some really hard topics, like, again, my critic comes up in not just relationships in this new area of my life, but with work. I constantly have to have this conversation with myself every day when I feel like I'm not being productive enough, or I'm not doing enough, or I'm not good enough at my job. I face it when I started putting out this podcast and I was like, oh God, no one's going to want to listen to this. I wake up sometimes and my critic is like the first voice there. Not always, but sometimes. And it does get better. I want you to know that my critic personally is not nearly as rampant as they were, I'd say probably a month ago, 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago. I used to live in my critic voice. And I used to think that that voice was my voice. I used to think that that inner criticism was just who I was as a person. And I wondered why I was so sad all the time. I wondered if this was just what being a human was like. And I wanted to let you know that it's not at all, but what you are experiencing is normal. And again, you are not alone. So thank you so much for listening to this. It means the absolute world to me. And if you have any concerns that you'd like to share, feedback, or again, if you'd like to leave a review of this podcast, I would so deeply appreciate it, but I would love to hear your thoughts. So please feel free to DM me, email me. I can be found everywhere at @ABH_movement. And I hope you have the most amazing rest of your day. You've got this.
Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to listen to this episode. I so appreciate it. And if you have more topics you would like to hear about or want to learn more, you can find us at abhmovement.com, ABH Movement on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook, or hit us up in our Empath Movement Facebook group. Have an amazing day today, and thank you so much again.